From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Coming In, Going Out. The text is Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 6. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The blessings of the law are not canceled. Jesus confirmed the promise when he bore the penalty. If I keep the commands of my Lord, I may appropriate this promise without question. This day I will come in to my house without fear of evil tidings, and I will come into my closet, expecting to hear good news from my Lord. I will not be afraid to come in unto myself by self-examination, nor to come into my affairs by a diligent inspection of my business. I have a good deal of work to do indoors within my own soul. Oh, for a blessing upon it all, the blessing of the Lord Jesus, who has promised to abide with me. I must also go out. Timidity makes me wish that I could stay within doors and never go into the sinful world again. But I must go out in my calling, and I must go out that I may be helpful to my brethren and useful to the ungodly. I must be a defender of the faith and an assailant of evil. Oh, for a blessing upon my going out this day! Lord, let me go where Thou leadest, on Thy errands, under Thy command, and in the power of Thy Spirit. Lord Jesus, turn in with me and be my guest, and then walk out with me, and cause my heart to burn while Thou speakest with me by the way. If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use, or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. As he proceeds with this study in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns will bring the concluding portion of a message called Nothing to Boast About. The text is verses 1 through 5 of chapter 4, and Dr. Cairns is focusing there on the main purpose of Romans, which is to answer a question posed in the book of Job many, many centuries ago. How shall a man be just with God? Paul had no sooner answered the question than various people began raising objections. The Jews insisted that their heritage from Abraham and their observance of the law of Moses assured them of entrance into heaven. Paul refutes their claim by showing that the gospel which he is preaching is the gospel revealed in the Old Testament scriptures. In other words, in spiritual matters, the Bible is the sole authority. Now Dr. Cairns concludes this message, Nothing to Boast About.
I remember when I introduced a volume of John Owen into the theological course in Northern Ireland. The cries went up, this isn't fair. This isn't fair. And the fact is, I had to study it, so there's no reason why they shouldn't have to study it too. I have to say, however, I don't think the Puritan preachers just kept preaching to four walls and blank stares. You had people without 100th part of the educational opportunities and advances or advantages that we have today, and they were able to sit and take in great biblical truth. But of course, you don't have to just think of the Puritans. I invite you to do something. Read 1 Peter. Now, those of you who have been in this church a long time and have old Bibles will confess what our sister Betty Walsh told me. She said, every time I opened my Bible, it fell open to 1 Peter. And that's because for 3 years, How many were there, Charlie?
83.
83 messages I preached on 1 Peter. And maybe as, not quite as many, but almost as many in 2 Peter. But anyway, in 1 Peter. But I invite you to read 1 Peter. Do you remember how it starts? Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we've already got further in theology than most people who have ever done their MDiv. But to whom was he writing this? Chapter 2, to newborn babes in Christ. They were only saved. And they were already getting into what we would count deep doctrine. In other words, in those days when people got saved, they really took seriously learning what the Bible says. What does it say? Most churches, I could not preach many of the messages that I have preached in this pulpit. Most of them I couldn't do. I'm very much aware that when I look back at what we have done in the book of Romans, not that it's anything deep or brilliant, but I have to confess, in most pulpits I could not dare to preach it, because I'm asking people to think, to follow a logical course of thought, to follow an argument through, to see what the Bible is really saying. And people want to be entertained when they come to church. They want to go out feeling good because they've heard a nice story, or because the music program has been so superlatively wonderful. And I'm not going to do that. I can't, for a start. I've never really learned the art of the storyteller. I wish I had. But anyway, I have a deep conviction that the only emotion that high feeling of well-being that is going to last, the only thrill that is really of God, is that which is a response of the soul to great spiritual truth. I believe in emotion and religion, but I believe in an emotion that's dredged from the depths of our being by the revelation of the truth of God. What saith the Scripture? And I'll tell you this, when Paul got that question out and gave the answer, he was saying, that's an end of the matter. When the Bible speaks, it's time for us to shut up and listen. I'm not here to argue with the Scripture. I'm not here to seek to trim the Scripture. It is not my job to have a fight with what the Bible says, or think that I can go beyond the Scripture. When the Bible speaks, that is an end of the matter. That's it. What saith the Scripture? And that's what he starts answering in Romans chapter 4. Now you'll be delighted to know that after these 5 or 10 minutes, I haven't got to the beginning of my message. I said we would deal with verses 1 through 5. And I thought I would get through at least the first point of those. And I haven't even got announcing what it's all about yet. So I guess I have some preparation done for next week. I want you to think of this, and we will take it up in detail next week. If you remember in the little book that I produced at the beginning of these studies, dealing with the theme of righteousness and life by grace in Christ, how that the gospel announces the grace of the Savior, Chapter 4, I called the principle of grace. We'll deal with that principle next week. In this chapter, it's saying that from the case of Abraham, the Old Testament shows that no man can be accepted by God on the merits of his own righteousness or by means of his own obedience, but solely by grace through faith. That's from the case of Abraham, remembering that they thought Abraham had merit in his faith, righteousness in his life, and therefore God accepted him. He's saying, no, 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 you've got the cart before the horse. We're going to look at Abraham and we'll see that the very opposite to your view is the truth. And the gospel that I'm preaching of an all-sufficient righteousness in Christ is the truth of God. I want you to take that home with you tonight. The gospel of an all-sufficient righteousness in Christ is the truth of God. If you have come here tonight burdened by guilt, the natural feeling is, what can I do to get rid of it? I have to do more and more. I have to feel bad about what I've done. I've got to feel, and more feel. And then I've got to do, and more do. And no, that's not the way. The answer to guilt is not in purgatory or its sufferings here or hereafter. The answer to guilt is in the righteous obedience of Jesus Christ, who has kept the law in his life and paid its penalty in his death, and who presents to God a complete propitiation, a sacrifice to put away his wrath against the sins of his people, and presents to us a complete reconciliation and acceptance with God, a complete righteousness and justification unto eternal life. That's the answer to guilt. That's how people get saved, by taking Christ as their all-sufficient righteousness. It's also how people live after they're saved. Because you know, this matter of guilt is one that torments many a believer. You're buffeted and battered by the world. You feel your failure. If you don't feel your failure, I doubt that you're a Christian at all. I don't know that a person can live close to the Lord and not feel like Isaiah, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. The holiest people I've ever known have been the people who have had the most acute sense of their own sinfulness and their own unworthiness. What do you do with that feeling of failure? What do you do with that feeling of guilt? Some Christians look back to what they were before they were saved, and the devil keeps bringing it up, and they can't get beyond the memory of it. Some Christians look back to failures in their Christian life, and they can't get the victory, and they can't get over the memory of it. What's the answer to guilt? Well, obviously, it's not more guilt. Shouldn't that be clear? And yet, what's the answer that's offered in most of our churches? It's to make you feel even more guilty in them, and they've made you feel real rotten and guilty. Put your hand up or walk the aisle, and that's supposed to do something for you. No. I close. I can't sing it. Not because I can't sing, you all know that's not true. I'll not sing it, but I'll recite it. It's one of a couple of hymns. As I've told you before, my dad used to go about the house singing, especially in his old age. I can remember going up and hearing him as he was preparing for bed, and the room door was closed, and I can still remember the occasion walking up and hearing him. And I think he was singing to himself. He was musical. Don't know how I missed it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth, even its guilt and its shame, the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. May God turn our eyes on Christ tonight, who of God is made unto us who believe righteousness. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the gospel of the free grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. We do thank Thee and praise Thee, O God, for salvation rich and full and free. We thank Thee for a justification that depends on Christ's righteousness and not ours. We thank Thee that God's people have a perfect obedience to the law, for it's Christ's obedience made over to their account. O Lord, in Jesus' name, therefore, we give Thee thanks, and we pray that Thou wilt write Thy word upon every heart. And God grant that this Sabbath evening, any who have come without Christ may be so convicted by the Spirit of God and enlightened by the word of Thy truth as to come to Christ, as He's freely offered in the gospel. Bless Thy word to Thy people as well. Lord, we pray, awaken in us a desire to know what the Scripture saith. And, O Lord, to come to terms with this glorious revelation of justifying grace in Jesus Christ. So, Lord, hear our cry and answer our prayer. Bless the time of fellowship and singing. Grant that the songs of Zion may rend the heavens tonight, and that even hell and Satan may tremble at the thought of the praise and the sound of the praise of our great Redeemer. Bless those who worship in song. Grant, O Lord, that from this house this evening will arise to the throne of God a testimony worthy of the name of our Savior. Answer us abundantly, we pray, and part us with Thy blessing, the blessing of the triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be our portion now and evermore. We pray, giving Thee our thanks. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.